Barney and Friends. Barney Simon. Jacaranda FM.
Jacaranda FM. Chris Forrest, my in-studio guest. We've had some, you know, sitting here in this fishbowl, you know, when people walk past, I do this, look, like a goldfish. But we've had some interesting characters walking past.
We have.
Are these people drunk or...
I hope so, because if they're like that normally, then...
We need security, yeah.
But not enough ladies flashing us.
Yeah, here we go. Let's have a look.
Gone. That's a no.
That's a no.
So,
yeah, well, boring show. Okay, now let's talk about the first time you had to do a commercial. Were you nervous? What was it? Do you still remember the TV commercial?
The first commercial I ever did, I wasn't nervous at all. I was 8 years old. It was a Nestle cheese spread. And I was part of a big cast of children. And it took 2 days to shoot. And I don't remember too much about it, to tell you the truth.
Were you how long are you on there, for 2 seconds?
Or literally.
Like, oh, really? So
like one of those
of
where...
kids like, yeah! Have you still got that on tape somewhere, on VHS?
I'm sure it's on a VHS somewhere. It was like one of those where you have to sit by the video recorder every time an advert comes on.
Yeah.
And then you try and push record and it takes like 4 seconds to record, to start recording. And then by that stage, your part's gone.
What do you think is the best? I mean, wherever you go, on, especially online, on YouTube, every time I switch on, one of your ads come on and I have to hit skip, but they're so good, I don't actually skip your ads that you do.
There's a couple on now that I'm not sure if I can even mention.
Yeah,
on,
go for it.
Because it's for the Lumia phone for Microsoft.
Was that scripted by you? Did you script that? Or they obviously gave you sort of the things to say.
The one where we're all in our own boxes, that wasn't, that was kind of, they would ask questions and we'd answer them. The other one was scripted.
Mm.
The one where I'm sitting at a desk and then going from there.
Yeah, so don't skip the ad. Cause
yes, watch it.
The end is the best part.
The end, there's a twist at the end that will blow your mind.
So don't skip.
Yes.
You know, people are going to start hating you as well because it comes up every time you want to watch something. There's a way of jumping, but it's in your face. I'm going, Chris, I'm actually talking to you now. Every time I want to look at something, you are there.
Click skip. But yes, I actually wonder if you had to go to Hammerhead, if it would be that first.
Mm.
Have you seen Hammerhead TV?
Mm-mm.
As a project I do with three other guys. And we just make sketch comedy for YouTube, just for fun, because we enjoy it.
Hammerhead.
Okay, Hammerhead TV.
Check it out. Your career so far, I mean, what are you going to do? I'm a MasterChef is part of that. As you said, recorded a while back, but stand-up comedy, I mean, you're doing a massive show coming. You're going to Durban for a couple of weeks and
Going to Durban for a couple of weeks and then doing it in Joburg for a couple of weeks. It's a one-man show called Who's Your Daddy?
Who's Your Daddy?
Who's Your Daddy? It's about my journey to becoming a father.
And is it funny?
It's very funny.
Do you show us how to change nappies on stage?
Not at all. No, it's just like, because the thing is everyone talks about childbirth and everyone like, oh, it's so wonderful. And it's not a wonderful. It's not a blessing. It's hectic. It's a tough thing. And so it's like kind of it's all based on truth, put it that way. And it's a like no holds barred, almost survival guide, kind of this is what really happens and this is what you must do type thing.
I've got an idea. You must take one of the nappies, a fresh nappy.
A fresh before.
Yeah, no, leave it there behind behind the chair or whatever, and then at the end of the show, just chuck it into the crowd, I think.
Maybe.
The real thing. Can you imagine?
Wow.
How do you, when you walk out on that stage, how do you actually remember all your jokes? Because that's the most difficult thing. I can never hit the punchline. That's why my radio shows are so bad, because I'll tell the joke, and then I forget the punchline. How the hell do you remember the punchline? I mean,
I think it's just sort of a thing, especially with a lot of the jokes. You're doing it kind of 5 times a week, and you're doing it over and over and over. And then, like especially when you think of a joke, I try and think of different ways to tell it and which will be the best way. And I'll try it out a few different ways before I get it right. And then you change it, and then you do it again. But you just kind of remember it. And then you've done it so many times that it's there.
It must have happened to you. No punchline. What do you do? You totally blackout. What's going on? Blank space.
It feels like forever, but then it's...
How do you just carry on, or without the people even noticing? Or?
Most times.
Okay.
Because, like I said, it feels like forever to you when you're on stage. Yeah. And then it's actually only like about 5 seconds, but you're like, oh, what am I going to do? And then, like, normally I'll just default to something else. But I go into autopilot quite.
If you go on stage and you tell your first, the most important thing for a comedian, in my opinion, the way you walk on, you look at Eddie Eckstein, he just walked in you laugh at him already just because of what he looks like. And then the cousin.
Barry. He just has to, he goes, my cousin. Yeah, and then he's got.
So have you got something like that, that, you know, when you walk on, everybody now knows that it's you and you can get away with it?
I used to do sort of a persona on stage, a very dry deadpan persona. And then I'd go, thanks, very excited to be here tonight. But I don't really do that anymore. So I kind of do whatever. But you have to, you're very right. You have to, your first joke. And your second joke, not your second joke, your first joke and your last joke have to be, your last one must be your best one and your first one must be your second best one.
And do you also find if you rip, everybody's doing it, ripping politicians or current affairs? Because, I mean, what happened this week, you go on stage, you're already like thinking of jokes and stuff like that. And that's important, how to keep it current.
Only the very mainstream stuff. Because I find a lot of South Africans don't read enough. Yeah, I'm going to sit on my pedestal and judge you. Because I went through a phase where I was reading the paper every day, and then you kind of make jokes about things that are happening and politicians, and a lot of people will sit there staring at you going, I don't know what you're talking about. So it has to be very, very in the public eye, otherwise it's not worth it.
So that joke you told earlier on at the beginning of the show about that party in Bloemfontein, you can still get away with that today and people will laugh and whatever. I mean,
oh, you mean Mr. Malema?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
It still works. I mean, it's a brilliant.
I haven't told that one since that recording, which was in 2008. Strangely.
We were sitting.
I've got different ones about him now. But no, because it's actually, strangely enough, Julius Malema, believe it or not, has become much more of a serious character now that he's formed his own party, which he's named after his matric result.
Mm.
It's like he people saw him as a bit of a clown back in those days, but now he's like an actual entity with possibilities of some sort of real.
There's potential there.
Potential, yeah, yes.
To run the country.
So I think people have stopped laughing and gone, whoa, this guy's actually serious. A thing.
Mm, what do you think of the debacle the other day?
Which one?
Exactly. The big one, Parliament.
There's
nobody left.
When the
everybody
opening,
walked out, yeah. Opening, lovely.
It was. I mean, it might have been scripted. It was. Everybody knew what was going to happen. I don't think anyone was surprised. Well, I wasn't surprised. Like the DA showed up getting ready to walk out. Mm. The EFF showed up getting ready to be thrown out. The ANC was like. I mean, can you imagine? Jacob Zuma wasn't even shell shocked. He's like, all right, that was all correct to plan. Let's carry on with the speech now that nobody's listening to or cares about anymore. Mm. Anyway.
What do you think of Nkandla? Have you ever done stand-up comedy there? Are you
at Nkandla?
Has he booked you?
No, he hasn't booked me.
They've got lots of rooms there. I mean, you can do one room every night.
I want to play the fire pool. We're getting very political here. I think Nkandla's a massive problem, an indictment. But I also sort of get the feeling it's a big white elephant that's being used to hide worse scandals.
Mm.
But that would just be my opinion.
Okay. Okay, let's play a game quickly.
Let's play a game.
Hello, everybody. We know them.
Do you?
Yeah, those famous people. Don't you know those people? They'll play your CD when you bring it in.
Ah, wonderful.
Yeah, he's the big boss at Jacaranda. He compiles the music and stuff.
Ah, have you heard of Cooler Box?
Oh, yeah. I want to play it on my show tomorrow, Henny.
Okay. I should have brought you a CD.
Yeah, okay.
I still have a box full.
I saw some of them at the bargain bin. We were at the CNA.
They didn't even make CNA. They didn't make the bargain bin. CNA listened to it and said, this is disgusting. You know, I couldn't even sell it at the second-hand record shop.
But have you ever thought of releasing that on vinyl? Because vinyl is making a comeback.
I need to think about re-releasing it, because when I released it, it was before Jack Parrow and the Antwoord were big.
You set the trend. You set there was a whole new revolution happening.
They had something that Cooler Box never had.
What was that?
Talent. but it was before all of that, and people were like shocked, and they're like, "What the hell? This is what's gunny lasty." But it did very well on YouTube. Strange enough,
we want another one. Is that a deal? soon.
Okay. Well,
maybe release one. I know you're so busy, but maybe once a month release something.
There was talk, although we're going back like 4 or 5 years now, that that I was going to do a collaboration with Jack Parrow. Because he actually heard Cooler Box and he liked it, believe it or not.
You have to do it. The two of you together in one studio. Oi. The chef versus the rapper.
Yes. Oh. Well, I don't know if he's a chef.
Always find out. I want him on the next celeb.
Master Chef.
He'll be kind of cool.
But actually, I was surprised with some of the celebs they didn't choose. Mm. Like, would you believe Colin Moss is actually a fantastic cook? So is Malt Siebertachen. Do you know Malt?
Yes.
He lived with me for a while. He cooks brilliantly.
Yeah, maybe there'll be a comedy Master Chef. That'll be kind of cool.
Let's hope.
Comedians, yeah. It's good television. People love it. How do you feel about that now? Walking in the streets, because now you know, maybe they don't know Chris Forrest as a comedian, or they've, you know, and all of a sudden you're sitting in a restaurant or whatever. Do they come up to you and say, hey, that risotto you made the other night was brilliant?
The risotto was the first decent dish I made on the show. So I get a lot of weird ones. Like I was having one of those arguments you have on Facebook, those like in somebody's comment section. And one of the things the guy said, he was like, I like your comedy, but I don't agree with your logic, and you can't cook.
That's a good joke. Brilliant.
Yeah, well.
Okay, let's play a game. Let's play a song first.
Play a song first.
Okay, and then we'll talk about this song. Very interesting. Jacaranda FM, Electric Six Gay Bar. Chris Forrest, my in-studio guest, one of your all-time favorite songs, and you said it was a challenge to see if Barney was going to play that song.
Yes, I didn't know if that was Jacaranda friendly.
It is.
I first heard that song on, I used to just sit back in the day and watch MTV when MTV still played music. Like Beavis and Butthead style, me and my brother used to just sit and watch MTV for hours at a time. And that was one of the big hits then.
And the way they dressed up, and it's a great video to go with that as well. But talking about MTV, I mean, what is going on there now? I think it's not MTV anymore. It's TV now.
I haven't actually watched it in ages because I don't even do music videos. It's like there's crap reality TV shows. MTV doesn't play music and the History Channel doesn't show history.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
What is your next step now, your career? I mean, your comedy's going. More movies? Are you working on are you busy shooting a new movie?
I've actually had a couple of people get hold of me saying that
Barney and Friends. Barney Simon.